Psalm 50, verses 1 to 23. A psalm of Asaph, the mighty one. God the Lord speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes, he does not keep silence. Before him is a devouring fire, around him a mighty tempest. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to recite my statutes or take my covenant on your lips? For you hate discipline and you cast my words behind you. If you see a thief, you are pleased with him, and you keep company with adulterers. You give your mouth free rein for evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I have been silent. You thought that I was one like yourself, but now I rebuke you and lay the charge before you. Mark this, then you who forget God, lest I tear you apart and there be none to deliver. The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. To one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. Every seventh year during the Feast of Tabernacles, also known as the Feast of Booths, the Jewish priests were obligated to read the law of God to the people and explain its meaning. We see this in Deuteronomy chapter 31 verses 9 to 13. This was a command from God. Deuteronomy chapter 31 verses 9 to 13. Then Moses wrote this law and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, at the end of every 7 years, at the set time in the year of release, at the Feast of Booths, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God, at the place that he will choose, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Assemble the people, men, women, and little ones, and the sojourner within your towns, that they may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, and be careful to do all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess. We find in the 8th chapter of the book of Nehemiah how this command was obeyed and revived by the exiles who had returned to Jerusalem from Babylon. Ezra, the scribe, and his co-workers, they read and taught the law to the people. Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 5 to 6. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And as he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8. They read from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. So this was a command which they had to obey during the Feast of Tabernacles. Every seventh year, the priests, the Jewish priests, were obligated to read the law of God to the people and to explain its meaning. Psalm 50 may have been written for such an occasion. The emphasis in the psalm is on consistent godly living that should result from true spiritual worship. That's the emphasis. True spiritual worship leads to consistent godly living. Now remember that Asaph was one of David's worship leaders, and he's mentioned as the one, a psalm of Asaph, it says in Psalm 50 verse 1. He is one of the worship leaders appointed by David. And we saw that when we studied the introduction of Psalm 39, we saw Asaph as the worship leader. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 37, we read, So David left Asaph and his brothers there before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to minister regularly before the Ark as each day required. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 12, And all the Levitical singers, Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun, their sons and kinsmen, arrayed in fine linen with cymbals, harps, and lyres, stood east of the altar with 120 priests who were trumpeters. You can also read 2 Chronicles chapter 35 and verse 15. I've given you the reference there. All these verses mention Asaph. A group of 11 psalms attributed to Asaph is found from Psalm 73 right up to Psalm 83. There are a group of psalms which are attributed to Asaph. He was the worship leader, one of the worship leaders. Now, in verses 1 to 6 of Psalm 50, we see God, the judge. He summons the court and then he confronts two offenders. He confronts the formalist to whom worship is just a ritual to follow. And we find this happening in verses 7 to 15. And then God confronts the hypocrite to whom worship is a disguise to cover up sin. And we see that in verses 16 to 21. Then the psalm closes with a call to all worshipers to be faithful to God in verses 22 to 23. So in Psalm 50, we first see the holy judge in verses 1 to 6. Then we see the heartless worshippers, verses 7 to 15. And then we see hypocritical sinners, verses 16 to 21. And then we see the description of the honest worshipper in verses 22 to 23. Now we will look at just verses 1 to 6 today, and God willing, we will study the rest of the psalm later. Psalm 50, verses 1 to 6. A psalm of Asaph, the mighty one, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes. He does not keep silence. Before him is a devouring fire. Around him a mighty tempest. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Now, human judges are called the honorable judge, so and so we say. But this judge is called the mighty one. In Hebrew, it is El, the mighty one. He's also called Elohim, which is the first word in the Bible used for God. Then he is called the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah. In verse 14, he is called the Most High, Elyon. And he is also called Eloha in verse 22, which again means God. He is the judge, the prosecutor, and jury. Psalm 50 verse 4, He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Psalm 50 verse 6, the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. So God is judge, the prosecutor and jury, and he knows all about those who are on trial. Nothing is hidden in his sight. He calls heaven and earth to witness the proceedings of the trial. Psalm 50 verse 1, the mighty one, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. There are many other verses in scripture where we find God summoning his creation to witness his proceedings of judgment. And we'll just look at a few of those verses in Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 26. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that you will soon utterly perish from the land that you're going over the Jordan to possess. You will not live long in it, but will be utterly destroyed. Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 32. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before you, since the day that God created man on the earth, and ask from one end of heaven to the other, whether such a great thing as this has ever happened or was ever heard of. Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 28. Assemble to me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to witness against them. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 1. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. Children have I reared and brought up, but they have rebelled against me. So God calls heaven and earth to witness his proceedings of judgment. Micah chapter 1 verse 2. Hear, you peoples, all of you, pay attention, O earth, and all that is in it, and let the Lord God be a witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. Micah chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Hear what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the indictment of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth, for the Lord has an indictment against his people, and he will contend with Israel. Now, when a judge enters a courtroom, if you've ever been in a courtroom, this is how it goes. When a judge enters a courtroom, everybody in the courtroom stands up respectfully. But God's entrance into this assembly is accompanied by the shining of his glory. When God enters his courtroom, it is accompanied by the shining of his glory. Psalm 50 verse 2. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Psalm 80 verse 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth. So God's entry is like a fiery tempest, very much like the scene at Mount Sinai when he gave his holy law to his people. In the book of Exodus chapter 19 verse 18 we read, now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. Exodus 24 verse 17. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 4 verses 11 and 12. And you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, while the mountain burned with fire to the heart of heaven, wrapped in darkness, cloud and gloom. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 2. He said, the Lord came from Sinai and dawned from Seir upon us. He shone forth from Mount Paran. He came from the 10,000s of holy ones with flaming fire at his right hand. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 18.
For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest. Hebrews 12:29, for our God is a consuming fire. Now when the Lord Jesus comes to judge the nations at his second coming, he will come and fight the battle of Armageddon, and he will win the victory against his enemies that come against Israel. And when he comes to reign and he fights the battle, the book of Revelation describes him riding in triumph on a white horse and the armies of heaven following him. His eyes are like a flame of fire. Revelation chapter 19 verses 11 to 16. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, why is it that we must remind ourselves of this picture of God? Because when we forget the transcendence of God, we find it easier to sin. And that's why we must remind ourselves of this picture of God. When we forget who he is, holy, a consuming fire, God of all power, when we forget the transcendence of God, we find it easier to sin. Therefore, we must remind ourselves of this picture of God, and this will lead us to true worship. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is actually true worship. We surrender ourselves to him. We give ourselves to him because he alone is worthy of all worship, all glory. Because Israel forgot who this God of glory is, what happened? This is what happened to the people of Israel. In spite of the fact that they saw the Lord descend from Mount Sinai and the mountain burning with fire, in spite of the fact that they saw the Lord descend upon Mount Sinai and the mountain burning with fire, they soon forgot that this God was a consuming fire. When they entered the promised land, the ark was with the people on Mount Zion. Emmanuel, God with us. Solomon built the temple on Mount Zion, but the nation should not have forgotten Mount Sinai, where their God revealed his holiness and his greatness, his majesty, his power. The psalmist praised Zion for its beauty in Psalm 50 verse 2. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. We read in Psalm 48, we've studied the psalm, Psalm 48 verse 2. Beautiful in elevation is the joy of all the earth. Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great king. But they forgot Mount Sinai. They forgot Mount Sinai. And they forgot their covenant with God. God is a righteous judge, and he can never go against his character of justice. He has to judge sin. He cannot go against his own character of justice. So God judged the nation of Israel when they fell into sin, when they rebelled against him, and the nation finally went into captivity in 586 BC when the temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, and the people were taken captive to Babylon. And in the book of Lamentations chapter 2 verse 15, we read, Lamentations chapter 2 verse 15, all who pass along the way clap their hands at you. They hiss and wag their heads at the daughter of Jerusalem. Is this the city that was called the perfection of beauty, the joy of all the earth? Remember Psalm 48 verse 2, the verse that we just read previously, beautiful in elevation is the joy of all the earth. What happened? Judgment came upon them because they forgot that this God is a God who is absolutely just and holy. The psalmist also wants us to remember the beauty of holiness. The beauty of holiness. Psalm 50 verse 2, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Psalm 27 verse 4, one thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Psalm 90 verse 17, I read to you from the King James Version, Psalm 90 verse 17, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. So, we are reminded of the beauty of holiness. God is righteous, he is holy, he is just. God is the judge. We read in Psalm 50 and verse 4, we just read those verses, Psalm 50 verse 4 and Psalm 50 verse 6. God is the judge. He is the righteous judge. Many of the judges of the earth have been corrupt and are still corrupt. They have declared wrong, biased and incorrect judgments. And there are judges who still do so. But God is absolutely holy. He is the righteous judge. Psalm 7 verse 11. God is a righteous judge and a God who feels indignation every day. Psalm 9 verse 8. And he judges the world with righteousness. He judges the peoples with uprightness. Psalm 11 verses 4 to 7. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes see, his eyelids test the children of man. The Lord tests the righteous, but his soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. Let him rain coals on the wicked, fire and sulfur, and a scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face. Psalm 75 and verse 2. At the set time that I appoint, I will judge with equity. At the set time that I appoint, I will judge with equity. Psalm 96 verse 10. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Psalm 96 verse 13. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. Now, we must not forget that God's judgment begins with his own people. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 17. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? Psalm 50 verse 5. Gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. So you see, judgment begins with the household of God. These people whom the psalmist describes are godly ones, faithful ones. That means they are a people set apart exclusively for the Lord because of the holy covenant that God has made with them. The ones who are wicked and do not know God have no right to take God's covenant name or his statutes on their lips. Psalm 50 verse 16. But to the wicked God says, what right have you to recite my statutes or take my covenant on your lips? What right have you to recite my statutes or take my covenant on your lips? But these are people who had entered into a covenant relationship with God. The godly ones, the faithful ones. Exodus 19 verses 1 to 9. On the third new moon after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain while Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. All the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am coming to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and may also believe you forever." When Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. But now some of God's people had sinned, and he had been long suffering with them. He had been silent about the matter. Psalm 50 verse 3. Our God comes, he does not keep silence. Before him is a devouring fire, around him a mighty tempest. Psalm 50 verse 21. These things you have done, and I have been silent. You thought that I was one like yourself, but now I rebuke you and lay the charge before you. Some of them had dangerously presumed and interpreted God's silence as his consent to their sin. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 11 we read, "Because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily, the heart of the children of man is fully set to do evil." Again in Isaiah 42 verses 13 to 15 we read, "The Lord goes out like a mighty man, like a man of war. He stirs up his zeal. He cries out, he shouts aloud. He shows himself mighty against his foes. For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. I will lay waste mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pools." Again in Isaiah 57 verse 11. "Whom did you dread and fear so that you lied and did not remember me, did not lay to heart? Have I not held my peace even for a long time and you do not fear me?" So now, the time had come for the holy God to speak. The purpose of this trial was not to judge and condemn the sinners, but to expose their sins and to give them opportunity to repent and return to the Lord. Now the question is, how does this passage apply to those who are believers in Jesus Christ today? The sins of every believer in Christ has already been judged at Calvary. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." But now that we have been saved, what we say and do after having known Christ as Savior and Lord will be judged. This is not a judgment unto condemnation, but a judgment unto reward. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 13 to 15. "Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire." As believers in Christ, when we sin, God chastises us. Hebrews chapter 12 verses 5 to 6. "And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." Why does God do this? God does this because he is concerned about his glory, and he desires that his children live a life that is set apart unto him to the glory of his name. Psalm 50 verse 2. "Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth." God wants us, believers in Christ, to glorify him. He wants us to do his will. God wants to reward us. He wants to reward His faithful servants. If you need a motivation for faithful service, then remember that God will judge and He will reward those who are faithful. If you are obeying Him today, then you will not have to fear the judgment seat of Christ when He summons you to court. God will one day judge all His saints. Saints are saved sinners. So we must make sure that we live a life of faithfulness. When Jesus establishes His millennial reign, His thousand-year reign on earth, we as believers in Christ, we will reign with Him. We will reign with Him with our glorified bodies. The dead in Christ will rise first, and those of us who are alive will be caught up to be with Him in the air. We will be with Him, and on earth will be the seven-year period of tribulation. When that culminates, all the nations will come against Israel. The Lord Jesus will come with us, His army, His angels, the army of heaven, and we believers will follow Him. And we will come, He will fight the battle of Armageddon, He will destroy His enemies, and He will establish His thousand-year reign on earth, and we will reign with Him with our glorified bodies. We will govern the millennial earth with Him in our glorified bodies, and each one of us will be given responsibilities in the millennial kingdom. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with Him for 1,000 years. In the parable of talents, remember, Jesus tells us in Matthew 25, verses 19 to 21. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. We will reign with Christ eternally in the heavenly city. In the new heaven and new earth, we will reign with Christ in the heavenly city. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22 verses 1 to 5. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and His servants will worship Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Today, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can experience reigning in life above all circumstances by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us, obedient to God's word. Romans chapter 5 verse 17. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. And that's what we are called to do as believers today. No matter what you're going through, you can experience God's rule, God's reign in your life. And you can triumph over every circumstance, over every situation in Christ, because you have the Spirit of God living in you. You're a child of God, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, sealed by His Spirit unto the day of redemption. The Spirit of God has come to dwell in you, and He empowers you by His Spirit to reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So the question that we need to ask ourselves is, am I being faithful to the Lord? Am I glorifying God with my life now? Make sure your appearance in God's court will be a time
that will glorify him. Let's bow our heads in prayer.